It's finally here. The 2024 World Series begins tonight. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Friday, October 25th, your source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. Follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. And since it's the biggest series of the year, the World Series, we have the biggest show of the year. It's the three-man booth. Christian Raw, follow him on Twitter at Christian S. Raw. Troy Brock, follow him on Twitter at Troy B. Baseball. And me, we're going to go through this World Series games 1 and 2 on Friday and Saturday in Los Angeles, Friday, 8:08 p.m. Eastern. Gerrit Cole versus Jack Flaherty, Saturday, also at 8:08 p.m. We talk about this every game is at that time. Carlos Rodon versus Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And there's a lot of intrigue about this series, right? A lot of questions about who's going to win, who has the advantage, and things like that. So what the thought process we had on the show was, we're going to go position by position, and we're going to look to see who has the advantage at every single position, who are the potential X factors in the series, and who's going to win. So let's start off. I vote we start off behind the plate, right? With position players, we'll start off at catcher, right? It's not the most sexy of positions compared to some of the talent in this thing, but Austin Wells versus Will Smith. Both of these guys had good years, right? Austin Wells is going to get down ballot Rookie of the Year votes. Will Smith was another consistent producer this season. Both of them have struggled in October. Does somebody have the advantage here, or is this pretty much a wash?
Yeah, I don't know who's going to have the advantage here, to be honest. You'd think initially, when you read the names and what you've seen in the postseason in the past, you'd think Will Smith would be the guy that would have the advantage, right? And for the most part, he has had the better postseason, although both of them have been quite atrocious. Neither of them are over the Mendoza line when it comes to talking about how they're playing. But in his career, we've seen Will Smith do some decent things in the postseason. 7 home runs across 192 at-bats, 670 OPS, not exactly amazing, but it's enough to be able to, you know, be excited about having something at the bottom of your lineup. When you look at the rest of this Dodgers core, if a guy like Will Smith can step up and just be a little bit of an impact, it'll be a huge X factor. But so I would say that it would lean, in my opinion, I think Will Smith leans at it, but I think Austin Wells is more important for his team moving forward.
Troy, yeah. Do you think that the 33 scoreless inning streak that the Dodgers had in the postseason, does Will Smith get credit for that since he was behind the plate for all of it? Or is that just, they were going to do that no matter what?
I think Will Smith has to get a lot of credit for that just because of the pitchers that he has left to work with for the Dodgers after the decimation to their pitching staff. He's a big part of their success over the years, the past 4 or 5 years. And I'm with Christian, you know, it's a slight edge with both of them really kind of struggling in October, but I also have to give the edge to Will Smith just because of the experience in the postseason as well as the World Series and with what he's able to do with the pitching staff that he has working for it.
Not a better mustache in the World Series though than Austin Wells.
This is very true.
It's only because Detroit didn't make it. Jake Rogers would have completely owned that, and we all have to understand that. Yeah, I think this is pretty much a wash here. Defensively, Wells has been fine. During the regular season, Will Smith wasn't a very good blocker. He had put in some more focus on caught stealing, things like that. So, you know, we've seen some interesting results. I do think this is mostly a wash. I do think Christian's right, though, that Austin Wells getting going is more important than Will Smith getting going, simply because the Dodgers have gotten contributions from the bottom half of their lineup, and the Yankees haven't had as much of that. Moving to first base, this is a really interesting one to me because you have guys who are not either coming off of bad seasons, not healthy, or both. Anthony Rizzo missed the division series with broken fingers on his right hand. He came back for the ALCS, went 6-14, was walked, I think, twice, maybe 3 times. One of those was intentional, I believe, but struggled a little bit defensively. And so you might see like John Birdie out there versus a righty, things like that. But Freddie Freeman did not play a whole lot in that series because of that sprained ankle. When he did play, his swing didn't quite look right. We're thinking the ankle's because of that. And so Max Muncy played some first base. Troy, is anybody at first base going to make an impact in this series? Or is this something where you have two injured players who are just gutting it out? If this was a series in July, you wouldn't see either one of them.
Yeah, if it was a series in July, you would not see either one of them. But with what Anthony Rizzo was able to do at the plate in the championship series, if he's able to do that in this series, that's going to be huge for the Yankees, like Christian said, with Austin Wells, because the Yankees really need that production throughout their lineup, especially if Aaron Judge isn't able to get going. And Anthony Rizzo, even with healing from broken fingers, was able to go 6-for-14, like you said. And if he can do that in the World Series, that'll be huge for their chances of winning this thing.
Christian, are we worried about like Rizzo's defense slipping with the broken fingers? Do you think that's going to be an impact, or is it something where if he's hitting, you can live with that?
I think if you can just get the basic first base needs down, then I think you're okay. But if it becomes to be an issue, you have a guy like John Birdie, who's quite frankly looked quite good at first base, and then Oswaldo Cabrera as well. So you do have some choices there. But if there's anything, but if he's anything like he was in the NLCS or ALCS, excuse me, you know, he's got a 429 batting average in the last series. That's pretty impressive. If he's anything like that, then I don't think maybe one or two blunders would be a big deal. However, we are talking about the World Series here. One mistake could be the deciding factor for a game, for a series that is so, you know, quite frankly, evenly matched. This is a very good series. So I would not be surprised to see, if we get late in the game, even if the game is close, to remove the bat of Anthony Rizzo to get a more defensive improvement because of injury concerns. But I wouldn't be shocked whatsoever.
Throwing it out on the floor here. Does anybody think that Freddie Freeman's going to be healthy enough to actually make an impact by now? Something where they had said he'd have been out multiple weeks if it was the regular season. He has played some in October, doesn't have an extra base hit, has struggled to move. I'm shocked nobody's tried bunting down the first base line to make him actually, you know, run on that leg. Does anybody think he's going to be healthy enough to make an impact, or is this just he'll be out there and if you can get anything, great?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say that you want him to make an impact. This has been one of his worst seasons in recent memory, at least in the last few years. This is definitely his worst season as a Dodger. Only 258 hits. He's played his least amount of games dealing with that injury. Now, it's still 147 games. Don't get me wrong. He's still quite the Iron Man. But it's hard to say that he's going to make a huge impact. And I lead back to the NLDS with that crazy play where Manny Machado led into second base, where he tried to cut off the play, and mm-hmm. Freddie Freeman had to bend over and grab the ball. It looked like you had a hard time throwing it because of the ankle. There's going to be a lot of, you know, interesting plays down the first base line, and that's the most active position that we're going to see in the entire game. And both of the position groups, both the teams have injuries, so it's hard for me to say he's going to make an absolute impact. But we got to not forget that we're talking about Freddie Freeman here. This is a guy that is not, that can do it, right? He's a former top guy in the game. Still is really good at what he does. He had a great season overall, 854 OPS total. It's just he's been dealing with that injury and it's been nagging. If he is just an ounce better, I should say, then he's in a way better spot than where he was before, and that's absolutely huge. So Troy, I think you agree with me, I would say, but it's really hard to think that Freddie Freeman is not going to have any type of impact in this World Series.
Yeah, he's that week off, it's definitely helped him heal up more than having to play in the National League Championship Series and the DS. So he's going to be a lot closer to 100%. Same with Rizzo. They'll be a lot closer to 100% than they were in their last series, but I don't think he'll have no impact, but it's Freddie Freeman, like you said, man. He's going to step up. He's going to step up when he needs to, and there's going to be a time in this series when they're going to need him to step up, and you can count on him. The past, 13, 14 years, he's been there, and he's been somebody that the Braves and the Dodgers have been able to count on, and I think that he can do it once again, even on one leg.
There we go. All right, second base. Gleyber Torres, who has been hot in the postseason offensively, little bit sloppy defensively, a little bit sloppy on the base paths versus a platoon of Gavin Lux, Kike Hernandez, and in an emergency, Chris Taylor, right? Gavin Lux is playing through a hip flexor. Chris Taylor was dreadful all year, but he's like 5 of 15 in October. He's reached base 5 times in 15 plate appearances in October. And then Kike Hernandez, playing both third and second, has been just a monster in the postseason. Who has the advantage here? I guess Troy.
If it's mostly Kike Hernandez, then you got to go with the Dodgers. Really, with Gavin Lux, throughout his career, you don't know what you're going to get, and especially with him dealing with that hip flexor right now, you really don't know what you're going to get from Gavin Lux. But if it's mostly Gavin Lux at second base, then you got to go with the Yankees and Gleyber Torres, especially with what he's been able to do this postseason. And I brought this up a lot over the past two episodes and already today with Aaron Judge not producing. You know, he's been a big part of their offensive production in their lineup. So really it just depends on how the Dodgers are going to line up their defense. If it's Kike Hernandez mostly, Kike Hernandez and the Dodgers. If it's Gavin Lux mostly, then Gleyber Torres and the Yankees.
Christian, any anything off of that? That's
who would have thought that the Yankees leadoff concerns would have been, you know, handled by Gleyber Torres. I would have never saw that being handled that way, but it's
he
worked
was
out.
Excellent in September and in the postseason so far. He's batting .297 with an .832 OPS. I mean, he turned it on just like Kike Hernandez turned it on and went from a .654 OPS in the regular season to an .863 in October. Same thing. Gleyber Torres turned it on when the lights got bright, and that's what you have to do to win a World Series.
Yeah, this one might be the closest position group that we're going to discuss, and it might come down to who has the best pregame swag, because, you know, Kike Hernandez had some nice pink outfits. Maybe that's where it comes down to. I don't know. I know we talked on yesterday's show, Troy, you think Gavin Lux could be a potential X factor in this series, and I think you're right, but I have to lean towards Gleyber Torres here. What he has done with the bat, pending free agent this coming up, I think he's playing for, you know, he's knowing that he's got a big paycheck coming up if he continues to do this, especially in the postseason, because he didn't have the best regular season. But recency bias is a thing when it comes to free agency. There's no doubt about that. And if he continues this stride into this final series and becomes a big impact for the reason for potentially the Yankees getting another World Series victory, the first one in a very long time, then, yeah, I think we're going to see a big payday for Gleyber Torres and him making a huge impact. So I'm going to lean towards Gleyber in this one, but I'm not ruling out Kike Hernandez. He loves October. There's something about October in the air with Kike Hernandez that is just – It's crazy. I don't even know how to explain it.
I don't think anybody realizes this, but Kike Hernandez is actually Spanish for Mr. October. All right. Last two to get to before we get to break. Shortstop, Anthony Volpe versus Tommy Edman. I feel like both this and third base are going to be pretty obvious, but Anthony Volpe versus Tommy Edman, it's pretty consensus here that Tommy Edman gives the Dodgers the edge here. Is this something where... do we think that if Miguel Rojas can make it back from the torn adductor muscle, do we think at this point you can move Tommy Edman from short to center field, or does he have to be your guy at short? Christian, is that a terrible idea to move Tommy to center?
It's not a terrible idea. And Dave Roberts has come out and said that there's a good chance that Rojas will be on the World Series roster when it's all said and done. Probably by the time you're listening to this episode, you'll see an alert on social media about who is on the Dodgers roster. But if Rojas is there, the fact that they're saying that there's a good chance and they're not confident about it means that he's not going to be 100%. So I think that you have to just utilize Rojas as a bench role moving forward for this entire series. I think that's just a good way to see it anyways. So I think you start off Edman at shortstop. It worked very well in the NLCS against the Mets. If you need to move him back to center field and make those adjustments later on in the game, you have that type of versatility. And I think that's a huge win for what you need. But I'm a huge, huge believer of what Tommy Edman is going to do for this Dodgers team. And I'll save it for a little later about my thoughts as we get to our picks. But I'm a huge believer on Tommy Edman.
As a Cardinals guy, I can totally
understand. It's not because of that.
Yeah. Troy, do you think there's any hope that Anthony Volpe can keep the October hot streak going? Because his offseason was, his regular season was rough, right? But he's making a lot of hard contact in the postseason. He's hitting .310 with an .804 OPS. He always idolized Derek Jeter. Obviously, he's now playing Jeter's position. Jeter was great in the postseason. Do we think that Anthony Volpe can make this into a legitimate debate over who gets better performances at shortstop?
He's definitely facing the right pitching staff to do so. He's not facing as good of a pitching staff. Really, they haven't really faced a good pitching staff outside of the Kansas City Royals. So, he's got a chance to do so, but you can't really fully bank on it with Anthony Volpe with what he's done throughout his career at the plate. He's more of a glove first shortstop, and if he can keep it up, it's going to be huge for the Yankees. But you really can't bank on it with what he's done throughout his career.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of how I feel as well. Is if you get it, great, but you can't count on it. Third base is another position where one team's getting it, one team hasn't been able to count on it. Jazz Chisholm Jr. for the Yankees versus the combo of Max Muncy and Kike Hernandez. Is this the most lopsided one of these positions that we're going to go through today?
It could be. It very well could be, because what we've seen from Max Muncy in the NLCS, he, you know, tied a Dodgers record with most, you know, times on base. I think 17.
12 in a row.
And out of 17 of those hit, or 17 of those on bases, 12 of them were walks, which I think is more impressive than actually getting hits. I would rather get, you know, if I'm talking about what's more impressive, 12 walks or 12 singles, I'm taking 12 walks, because you're working the pitcher, you're having plate discipline, you're frustrating the pitching staff. There's a lot of intangibles in there. So it can definitely be a very overlooked position in this one, but you got to think Jazz Chisholm's due, right? What we've seen from him all regular season and how he started off his Yankee career after the trade deadline, you got to think that he's due. And I saw that he's wearing some brand new bling going into the World Series, and it looks pretty crazy. So that could be what exactly he needs. I don't know, but I think that this position, you have to give it the nod at first to her, or at least to Muncy and Hernandez. But I don't think you can rule out Jazz Chisholm for what we've seen from him in the past. I don't think he can. He shines on big stages.
Troy, the fact that Jazz is batting 147 in the postseason with 11 strikeouts, but yet also went and was talking trash to the Royals after the ALDS by saying that they got lucky in one of their wins. Is this the biggest your talk doesn't match your production moment in MLB this year?
Yeah, it's up there for sure. It's got to be one of them. But he's like we talked about on Wednesday. He steps up when the lights are the brightest, and the World Series this year is the brightest light that baseball has had in this century.
Yeah.
So if anybody can step up, it's Jazz Chisholm. And I'm not sure if anybody realized this or not, but Jazz Chisholm is actually Bahamian for Mr. World Series. So
Mr. Lindsay, October.
Lindsay, yeah. Do you remember at the beginning of the season or this past offseason that there was a viral video of a Jazz Chisholm interview talking about the chemistry in the locker room of the Marlins with Miguel Rojas,
blaming Miguel Rojas for being a terrible teammate, terrible leader, and now they're potentially going to face off in the World Series. I did not forget that. That's going to be an interesting storyline, and I imagine if Jazz does anything, there'll be a little bit of jawing back to the Dodgers dugout, especially if Miguel Rojas is active and not playing. You know, he'll definitely be doing that, because when you're at third base, sometimes you're right by their dugout. So we'll see how that goes. I want to get to the outfield in just a minute. But first, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Encase Cards. It's a custom card manufacturer. Encase Cards takes your source photos of whatever it might be. Youth sports is what I used it for, right? But it could be you. It could be a music recital, whatever it might be. And they make their artists personalize it for you and make a custom trading card for it. My kids play youth sports. My son plays t-ball. My daughter plays soccer. My daughter's actually, if they win their soccer match tonight, they will be in the championship in their U10 soccer league. So I'll be going straight from the ball field to watching the World Series tonight. But Encase Cards takes your photo, they get the design, they print it on high quality cardstock, slab it, and then ship it straight to you as a keepsake. So check them out now at encasecards.com. That's NCASECards.com. Okay, looking at the outfield matchups here, let's start off with the least exciting one, right? Left field. Alex Verdugo versus Teoscar Hernandez. Verdugo is a lefty hitter in this Yankees lineup. He's been playing, he's made every single start, despite the fact that Jason Dominguez made the roster. He started off hot. He started the playoffs off hot, but has kind of regressed now. He has a 544 OPS going into this series. Teoscar Hernandez, by comparison, just absolutely destroyed the Yankees when these two teams met in the regular season. In Yankee Stadium, he went 6-for-12 with 3 homers and 9 RBI. But he started off the NLCS 0-for-18. Is this something where we still think Teoscar Hernandez gives the Dodgers the edge because of what he's done against this team and in that ballpark? Or is this where neither guy's hitting really well right now? And can anybody get an advantage here? Like, what do you think on this, Troy?
You got to give the advantage to Teoscar Hernandez. Just from what they've done throughout their careers, even coming in with the slump, you can't count out Teoscar Hernandez, especially because this is kind of a contract year for him as well. So
1 year deal,
and so he's another guy that's playing for a long term contract. And
is Philly going to give it to him? Can you imagine him joining your Phillies in left field?
They could. There's another guy in this same World Series I would rather them open the purse strings on. But Teoscar Hernandez would not be a bad second choice. But and let's be honest, Alex Verdugo is not really a great hitter. You can't really count on him to do what he did in the earlier in the postseason, throughout the rest of the postseason. So you have to give the nod to Teoscar Hernandez in this one.
Christian, do you think there's a chance if Verdugo starts off slow in this series that they give Jason Dominguez a chance to start a World Series game, hoping for some offense?
I think start is a good rule of thumb for that for sure. I think that will be the big indicator if you get him the chance to start. I think we're going to see him plenty of times in this one, but starting might be where you see it first because you can always sub him out. I think that the biggest thing right now is Verdugo's got some better defense than Dominguez at the moment. We've seen that in the past, especially in this playoff. So maybe you do see Dominguez start something, maybe see if you can get his bat hot. If not, you can always go back to Verdugo. He's a veteran. He probably can handle being off the bench a little better. And you know that you've got the glove for the rest of the game. So I can see it for sure, but I'm definitely going to give that edge as well to Oscar Hernandez. I mean, hit a career high home runs this year, 33 home runs. He might not have the best postseason, Lindsay, but if you're looking back and you're thinking, okay, there's, full count, bottom of the ninth, 2 outs, all that good stuff. Who are you taking at the plate? You taking Hernandez, you taking Verdugo. And then, 10 times out of 10, I'm taking the guy that can send it to the moon. And that's Hernandez. So,
yeah. Moving over to center field. This is a really interesting one to me because starters Aaron Judge and Andy Pages are tied for home runs in the postseason with 2. Aaron Judge, he did take Emmanuel Clase deep. A lot of people can say that this October, which a lot more than the regular season. But for Judge, he's batting 161 in this postseason, 13 strikeouts. The flip side, Andy Pages struggled in center field. First Dodger center fielder since Duke Snider to hit 2 home runs in a postseason game. Did that in game 5 of the NLCS. It was a loss, but, I'm not going to say they're the same player, but Pages has some of that same swing and miss, but some pop and a good arm that Aaron Judge has. You'll see Kike Hernandez a little bit in center. You'll see Kevin Kiermaier maybe late for defense, but this one feels like it shouldn't be nearly as close as it is between Aaron Judge and Andy Pages, should it be?
Christian. No, it should not be. It should not be whatsoever. But when you looked at how Aaron Judge finished off the ALCS, he finished it, going, I believe he was 1-for-8 in the last 2 games, 4 strikeouts. He has 7 strikeouts over his last 3 games in the series. Gross. So, yeah, there's definitely some concern about how Aaron Judge has handled the postseason so far. Now, he has had some, and let's say, quote unquote, October moments, because I don't think that he has found his October moment yet. I think we will get it in this series. I think there will be a time in this series that one of these games are decided from an Aaron Judge moment. Just seems inevitable. I think we're going to get it from both sides of the stars. But when you look at what we see from Aaron Judge, he's going to be in the middle of the lineup, Lindsay. Troy, it's not going anywhere. He's going to be the guy that sits in the middle of your lineup, whether he's succeeding or not. That's not changing amongst these potential 4 to 7 games. But how can you not lean towards Aaron Judge? What he has done over the last couple seasons, what he's shown, even when he struggles in the postseason, he's the captain of this team, and you got to give the nod there.
Troy, can the Yankees beat the Dodgers without Aaron Judge finding his offense in the World Series?
It's going to take a lot of what they've gotten from the rest of the lineup throughout this postseason as a whole to do so, but it is possible. Yes, it is possible as long as the rest of the lineup shows up like they have throughout the rest of this postseason. It's a lot harder without Aaron Judge. It is much, much harder without Aaron Judge, but it is not impossible.
Okay. This one to me is probably the closest matchup of any right field. You have Juan Soto versus Mookie Betts. Juan Soto, I would argue, has had that October moment already, that Yankee moment, the go-ahead three-run homer in the 10th inning of Game 5 that sent them to the World Series. He's batting .333, three homers, seven walks, seven strikeouts. He won a World Series in 2019, so he's done this once before. Flip side, Mookie Betts. People talked about he struggled in October. 52 plate appearances this year. He's batting .296 with .163 OPS, four homers, 12 RBI. Does anybody have an advantage here, or is this the only position where these two teams are evenly matched because they've got superstars playing at the top of their game?
This one's pretty close. This one is very close. Both of them really have. Mookie Betts won a World Series with the Red Sox, I think, the year before Juan Soto, 2018.
I believe so. And then 2020 with the Dodgers. I mean, he has World Series in his.
Yeah, both of them have the World Series rings already. So both of them have the experience. Mookie Betts has, throughout his career, not been as good in October, though he has turned it around this postseason very tremendously. But yeah, I'm with you, Lindsay. This is probably the one that, if there is an edge in either way, it is the most minuscule of edge.
I think I know how to figure this out. We're going to use Christian's test. Christian, if you had you need to hit ninth inning, two outs, are you putting Mookie Betts or Juan Soto up to bat?
Well, Soto's Dominican for Mr. October, so I'm taking Juan Soto.
It's different.
100%. What I've seen from Juan Soto this postseason, honestly, that at bat he had at Cleveland against Hunter Gaddis, where he hit that home run. Mm-hmm. If I'm ever going to show someone who has no idea what baseball is, I'm showing that full at bat, the full 3 minutes of that internal dialogue that he had with himself, internally fighting against Gaddis, who wanted no part of that.
He absolutely goaded Gaddis into throwing that final pitch. There's no reason you should have thrown that pitch to Soto, but Soto just baited them into it, and I love it.
There is nobody more intimidating at the plate in my mind than Juan Soto. No one more intimidating. There might be a couple players better when you look at the stats and how people have fared this season, but I don't think there's anybody more intimidating, especially in this series, and I might even say in all of baseball, than Juan Soto. So I'm taking Soto, but I think Mookie Betts is going to have a good series as well. But yeah, Juan Soto.
It's an A versus an A-plus on this one.
Yeah, Lindsey Crosby's Braves are going to have to face Juan Soto a lot more in the coming seasons.
He's going to go back to the Nationals, man.
Oh,
yeah. Talking about nobody more intimidating in the box, at designated hitter, it's Giancarlo Stanton, who's been playoff gene, has been huge in the postseason. But on the other side, it's Shohei Ohtani, and who has been just one of the most dominant hitters this season, the postseason, everything. He had three pitchers that have really been able to kind of neutralize him in the postseason. Yu Darvish, Tanner Scott, Sean Manaea. Together, though, he went 1-for-15 with 10 punches against those guys. Everybody else, he's batting .407 with a .320 OPS, three homers, 11 walks, 10 RBI. Giancarlo Stanton has been amazing in October. Five homers, three in the last three games, .179 OPS, 16 homers and 36 career playoff games. He's from California. He grew up near Dodger Stadium, so he's going to be motivated to do extra in this one. But there's no way to pick anybody over Shohei Ohtani, right? Troy?
No way. You can't. No, there's no way you can pick over Shohei Ohtani. Even if the bases are empty, you have to pick Shohei Ohtani. And Yeah, but what Stanton has done has been absolutely incredible this postseason as well. He's almost resurged his career. If you look in the past, though, you've seen that he has had some really good numbers in the postseason, so it shouldn't be as surprising to many. But just what you've expected from him or what you've seen from him in the regular season as of late, seeing it now again in the postseason, it is really impressive. But how can you not give it to Shohei Ohtani? I mean, what he has done this season is incredible. There's going to be 13, 14 million more people watching this World Series because of Shohei Ohtani. So, yeah, the stage is set in my mind. And as I mentioned earlier with Aaron Judge, there's going to be a moment for both these stars, Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, where one of these games are settled by just them. They're going to be a key factor. I guarantee it.
Speaking of Shohei Ohtani, Troy, I want to ask you, we saw him one of the greatest regular seasons of baseball history, right? Stole 59 bases in 63 attempts. He was caught stealing four times. It's a 94% success rate. In the postseason, he's attempted one steal and he was thrown out. Do you think we see Shohei Ohtani run in the postseason? Or is this something where teams are like the Yankees are specifically going to try to stop him from doing that?
Yeah, I think they're going to try to stop him from doing that. He'll probably try and do it a little more than he has throughout the rest of the postseason, just because this is a much bigger series than the rest of them, and a much better matchup for the Dodgers. So they're going to need to eke out some runs here and there any way they can. So I think he'll try and steal more than he did the rest of the postseason, but they'll probably do whatever they can to keep that from happening and to try and throw him out.
Okay. I want to move to the pitching staff real quick, because this to me is, it seems very clear who has advantages in either direction. On the starting rotation, there's no question it's the Yankees, right? You look at, they've got Gerrit Cole, they've got Carlos Rodon, they've got Clark Schmidt, they've got Luis Gill. So they've got four healthy guys. Cole was starting game one. I believe it's Rodon game two, even though I talked about we should have thrown Schmidt. He's got better road stats this year. But here's the question that I have. In the last nine games, Yankee starters have only gone five innings three times. Christian, do you think that they can do better than that in this World Series, and do they need to? Or is this something where their staff's deep enough where it doesn't necessarily matter because they have more starters in general than the Yankees, than the Dodgers do?
I don't know if you can say the staff is deep enough, but their bullpen has been quite impressive this postseason, especially from guys that you wouldn't expect it from. Obviously, Weaver has done his thing, but guys like Jake Cousins has been very good. When you look at how Gerrit Cole has acted so far this postseason, it's not great in the eyes of Gerrit Cole. Now, if he was on the Dodgers squad on the other side, based with all the injuries and stuff, you would be ecstatic from what you've got from Gerrit Cole. But in the eyes of the Yankees, it's not what you would want. It's not what we've seen in the past in his career postseason. So I think you do have to step it up. I think they do need a little bit more from their rotation, and it starts tonight with Gerrit Cole, because I don't know how long this bullpen is going to be able to hold off. You gotta know this bullpen is tired. This bullpen has to be exhausted after that Cleveland series.
I've got some great stats on that for when we get to the bullpen. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see what this rotation looks like, though. But I do think it has to start right away with Gerrit Cole. I think we need to see him do something. And I want to see a bigger moment from Gerrit Cole, other than, in my mind, just picturing him sitting in his Astros jacket in the postseason, not getting subbed in. Because that's like the World Series moment I think of Gerrit Cole. I want that to change this season.
Yeah. Troy, is the fact that the Dodgers only have Jack Flaherty, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Walker Buehler, is that a problem? Or is the advantage here that they're going to have Yamamoto available more than once, when they only had him once in the NLCS? Does that kind of offset the fact they only have three starters?
I think it definitely offsets it a little, but that's still a big problem, especially considering you don't know what you're going to get from Walker Buehler. Mm-hmm. And you also don't know what you're going to get from Jack Flaherty.
He's been up and down this postseason.
Yeah, and it's like we've talked about this week, they've done it to themselves with they now have to lay in the bet that they made, and it could be very detrimental to them and their chances at winning this whole thing. But having Yamamoto be available for more than one game it definitely helps.
Yeah, and I think that too, for the Dodgers, it helps when you go to the bullpens. It helps the fact that yes, they've used the bullpen a lot, but they really haven't burnt out the leverage arms. And to Christian's point, for the Yankees, at the end of the ALCS, Luke Weaver and Clay Holmes pitched in every game but one. And fun fact, Luke Weaver pitched more innings than Clark Schmidt. I couldn't remember his first name. Than Clark Schmidt. And Clark Schmidt started twice. Clark Schmidt threw 9 2/3 innings across two starts. Weaver threw 10 1/3 across all of his outings. He blew a save. To Christian's point, the Yankees bullpen is tired. The Dodgers bullpen is not. And Christian, on the Dodgers bullpen here, they only used Blake Treinen and Anthony Banda more than five times among their kind of leverage relievers, right? They've got Michael Kopech. They should be getting Alex Vezia, maybe Bruce Dalgratterall back. Is the Dodgers bullpen healthy enough and have enough weapons in there to offset the rotation's lack of length and depth?
Yeah, it's a lot of fresh heat, right? When you talk about guys like Vezia and Gratterall, it's a lot of fresh heat.
And bro, nobody and throws just more casual 100 miles an hour than Bruce Dalgratterall. It drives me nuts. He's like playing catch up there, and it's 100 miles an hour.
He's the perfect guy to come in if you have a struggling starting pitcher, just to change the landscape of things and just change the everything about it. You bring him in for an inning, fix it up, and then go to your rest of your bullpen. So I think you have to give the little bit of an edge to the Dodgers bullpen because of that right there. I mean, the fact that they didn't have to use Kopech for a good amount of the National League Championship Series against the Mets is huge, because when we have seen him pitch, it's been pretty lights out. And Trennan's been really good too, but he was used a lot as well. I think
he leads the team with 8 innings out of the bullpen in October. Treinen does.
Right. And he had what, 2 in the game winning one against the Mets. So I think he's pitched, you know, he's probably the most used pitcher as of late as well, not just in the postseason, like as a whole. So if we can get Treinen to be fresh, that's huge. But just Kopech alone, I think, is a big one. And then adding, you know, some fresh arms in there. But you got to still look at this Yankees bullpen, guys, because, you know, Clay Holmes hasn't had the greatest season. I think we all know that. But what he's done, blown saves, I think his most saves in Yankees since like the 80s as a closer, had him lose his closing job. But there are still some moments where you can rely on him in the 7th, 8th inning, whatever the case may be, and get some outs. And what Luke Weaver has done has been very impressive. I didn't have on my bingo card that Luke Weaver is going to be seen as, quite frankly, the best closer in baseball as we got to the World Series, because there's a solid argument for that right now. But I'm going to lean towards the Dodgers bullpen. I think what we have seen from them so far this season, how it lined up against the Mets, more going into tonight's game, at least for tonight, you know, things can change very quickly after a 3-inning blunder by a starting pitcher. But going into tonight, I'm leaning towards that Dodgers bullpen.
Troy, is the activation of Nestor Cortes to be in the bullpen. He's a lefty, obviously. And then you having ground ball specialist Tim Hill, who's also a lefty, and Tommy Canley as a changeup guy can work against lefties. Are those three guys enough to neutralize all of these Dodgers lefties? Or is that going to really still be the weakness of this Yankees bullpen, is how they match up against all the lefties that LA can throw at you?
It's going to be tough because all of their lefties are really their best hitters. So it's going to be tough. Nestor Cortes being added to the roster and to the bullpen is going to help tremendously, because like we talked about on Wednesday, Tim Hill was really the only one that they have used through the majority of the postseason. So so taking a little of that workload off of him and putting it on Nestor Cortes, who can come in as a starter normally and know that he's not starting, he's going to be coming out of the bullpen, so he can you know, get up on his fastball a little more and throw his pitches a little harder, add some more break, and that it will help. But it's them Dodgers lefties, man. They're tough. They are tough.
They are very tough. Okay, so we've gone through every single position, right? We've gone through bullpen. We've gone through third base and left field and all of that. Everybody, give me one X factor in, like, one player who's going to be an X factor in this series. If they have a good series, they can propel their team to victory. I'm going to rule out, you're not going to be able to say Aaron Judge. You're right. You're not going to be able to say Freddie Freeman. Give me somebody who's actually a little bit under the radar who can potentially sway this series for their team. Christian, you first.
It's got to be Tommy Edman for me with the Dodgers. I think Tommy Edman, what he has done so far this postseason, really since he's got traded over to the Dodgers, has been quite incredible. I mean, the Dodgers took such a risk on him. He didn't play a single game the season before he got traded to Los Angeles. He was rehabbing when he got traded, finally made it over. And not only did they, you know, require his services, but they've required it in so many different positions, with center field, shortstop.
Important positions, too. It's not like they're throwing him in left field and second base. This is shortstop and center field.
Exactly. And then not only is just defensively where they put him on in the batting lineup as well, right? He's had him at ninth. He batted cleanup for the first time in his career in the NLCS. So they're using him in very important spots. And I think he's going to come up very important again in this World Series. And I know we're going to have our picks a little bit later, but I might as well just share it now. I think he is going to be the World Series MVP. That's how much I think of a world factor Tommy Edman is going to be. It's not going to be Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, or Freddie Freeman. The reason why the Dodgers win this series, if they do, it's going to be a guy like Tommy Edmonds that does it. The David Freeze moment. There's my Cardinals pitch.
There you go. Troy, who is your X factor in this series?
It's got to be Gleyber Torres. Just setting the tone at the top of that lineup for the Yankees and having a man on base for Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton is a big key, you know, and getting more than just one run when they hit home runs, and just what he's done throughout this postseason. If he can continue to do it throughout the World Series, then that is going to be a major factor into how this World Series plays out going forward.
And in an attempt to not have favoritism here, I'm going to do one for each team, because we have a Yankee, we have a Dodger. I'm going to do one for each team. For the Dodgers, I'm going to say Andy Pages. I think that you have the possibility, if Miguel Rojas can come back and be healthy, of moving Tommy Edman back to center field. And I think if they do that, they're going to do that because they don't like the offensive potential out there. And so if Andy Pages can continue to get timely hits, like he was all those two home runs that he had in the NLCS, I think that's going to go a long way towards letting Edman stay at short and not have to move around. And then his defense being big, because you've got all these fly ball hitters on the Yankees, being able to go out and run stuff down. He wasn't always a center fielder in the minors. He played a lot of corner outfield, but he's been playing center field, and I think he's looked better as time's gone on. I think if he can be good enough to leave Edman at short, that minimizes any sort of weaknesses in the lineup. It's the same thing if Freeman can play first and can play well. That leaves Max Muncy at third, and it leaves Kike Hernandez at second, and that's the best offensive lineup for the Dodgers. I think the same thing, the best defensive lineup and the best offensive lineup involves Tommy Edman staying at short instead of Miguel Rojas. And for him to do that, Andy Pages has to be better in center. But for the Yankees, I'm going to go with Jazz Chisholm Jr. We've talked about, you know, his name is Bahama. I can't even. It's in the Bahamas. It means Mr. October. But the thing here is, like, he's been a little bit shaky at third base because he's learning the position for the first time in New York in the postseason. And if he can be comfortable at third base enough where he can focus on the offense, I feel like that's kind of been part of the problem for him. We saw this when he was first learning center field with the Marlins. His offense slipped a little bit while he was learning the position. If he can be comfortable at third base, he can go out and he can hit a little bit better. He can go back to being an impact on the base paths. And I think that goes a long way towards Troy's point of kind of elongating this lineup and putting runners on and putting stress on this Dodgers rotation and stress on this Dodgers bullpen, because the rotation is a weakness. The bullpen's a strength versus the Yankees. You need to be able to make them work, get into that bullpen as soon as possible to start wearing them down. And guys like Jazz Chisholm in that bottom third of the lineup is a big part of that. Let's make picks real quick. Give me the team that's going to win and the number of games. Christian, there's no surprise here, so you go first.
Yeah, it's going to go 7 games. There's no doubt in my mind that this one's going 7 games. I think MLB is going to find a way to milk it out. This is the closest.
The script is written for seven games.
Yep, this is the closest a conspiracy theory I will ever get when it comes to baseball. The script is written 7 games. But I think it's going to come down to home field advantage. I really do. I think that we're going to see so good of so much of a good World Series here. It's going to be pretty even. There's going to be some blunders on each side when it comes to the rotation, bullpen. And I think we're going to see some potentially high scoring games because I think both these offenses are really going to step up. But I think it all comes down to it. I think the winner is going to be the one that they're sitting at home with it. So I'm going to go and give it Dodgers in seven games, but it's going to be a real close matchup. I'm really looking forward to this World Series. The more and more we talk about it, and I know people have got, you know, upset about his Dodgers Yankees, and I know we've talked about that for quite some time this week, but the more we talk about it, the more I'm excited about this World Series.
All right, we have a pick for Dodgers in seven. Troy, where are you?
I've been waiting all show to do this. Not so fast, my friend. It is going to be the New York Yankees in six games.
Okay.
You got to wear your Yankees hat. Where's your headgear?
I left it at home.
They don't believe in that. They don't believe in that. Yankees in six. So they'll actually clinch it in LA in Dodger Stadium for game six. That'll be really interesting to see. I think I'm leaning more towards where Christian was, Dodgers in seven. If the Yankees can jump out early and can take one or both games in LA, I think if the Yankees win, they win it in like five. If it goes longer than that and it ends up going seven, the bullpen advantage of the Dodgers, the more offense from the lineup from the Dodgers, I think it ends up being Dodgers in seven, provided they can just work around those two hot guys, right? Soto and Stanton are really your big offensive threats in that lineup right now. We've seen Glaber get on and stuff at the top of the order, but for the most part, the rest of that lineup's not doing much. And so I feel like the Dodgers can successfully work around those guys and can take this because they're getting more of a full team contribution top to bottom. So I've got Dodgers in seven as well. I'm with Christian. The conspiracy theory on this, there's no way that this is not Dodgers in seven. Like there's no way this is not seven games. That's just MLB's not going to let that happen. I don't know if they have a remote control ball or something, but they're going to find a way to make some ball dodge a fielder's glove. Dodge a fielder's glove or something. They're going to find a way to make this seven games.
I think that the biggest view in this World Series is going to be when the Yankees win in six, they're celebrating on the field at Dodger Stadium, and you look in the dugout, and there is Shohei Ohtani hanging over the dugout, just watching on in Shohei Ohtani sadness.
And it's the start of his villain arc where he just comes out next year and just destroys everybody as both a pitcher and a hitter.
Yep.
He hits 60 home runs. He pitches an ERA of 2.25 and wins the Triple Crown and both pitching and hitting. That's what's going to happen.
Hold up now. I gave Tommy Edman as my World Series MVP pick. You guys didn't give World Series MVPs, so we got to get that at least.
That's a good point. Troy, World Series MVP for the Yankees in six.
It's got to be Juan Soto going to free agency for the first time at 25 years old. And going to be the highest paid player in the history.
It'll get him an extra $100 million if he does that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Sacramento Athletics are gonna be so good next year.
Highest paid Philadelphia Phillies player ever in the history of the franchise.
Taiwan Walker.
All right. If I have Dodgers in seven, I think it's gonna come down to game seven. It's gonna come down to one huge hit. It's gonna be Shohei Ohtani. If they win in seven, Shohei's going to have some sort of big hit. He's going to have a key steal, something like that. And despite not playing the field at all, and he's not going to pitch, stop asking people, he's not going to pitch, Shohei Ohtani's going to end up being the World Series MVP if they win in seven. There's no way MLB's not going to let that happen. The script writers have spoken. All right, game one tonight, 8:08 p.m. Eastern. Game two on Saturday. We will be back on Monday morning to talk about these first two games, as well as preview Monday night's game three. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.